السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. Over the past few nights, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have been discussing the various qualities of the heart. And amongst the important qualities that came to mind, that it'd be important if we once again discuss it, being the 29th night of the month of Ramadan. The very reason for which Allah Ta'ala gave us this Mubarak month of Ramadan was to develop this quality of the heart, which we have been hearing over and over again, the quality of taqwa. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had mentioned to the Sahaba Kiram, after giving them various advices, and then he said, "At-taqwa hahuna." وَيُشِيرُ إِلَىٰ صَدْرِهِ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam pointed towards his chest and he said that taqwa is here. And then he pointed three times. So definitely this quality of taqwa is something that is hidden. It's a quality of the heart. It is something that no one can make a claim to it. And only Allah Ta'ala knows who the individual is who really is worthy of being called a muttaqi person. However, just to once again remind ourselves, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that a reminder is beneficial for us, that every now and again, if a person is conducting a project, then every now and again they have a meeting again and says, let's not forget the goal of this project. All of these other things are in its place, but what's our real goal? What are we really aiming at? So sometimes we also have to look at this month of Ramadan. What was our real goal and objective? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you can get this quality of taqwa. So ulama-i kiram have given the definition of taqwa as being كَفُّ النَّفْسِ عَنِ الْهَوَى, to restrain the nafs from its evil desires. So if the nafs desires something which is permissible, then nothing if a person engages in it. Some people go to an extreme. They say that we must control our nafs. So they even prevent the nafs from those things which are halal. Our mashayikh, those who are kamil and who are really, you know, have their finger on the pulse of society. Because we must also realize that in every field you get people of different levels and different calibers. Sometimes you get a doctor, we'll say he's a cheek chair, you know, he's an amateur doctor. You'll get the job done. But you say, but that doctor, if you can't seem to solve the problem, that is the doctor you need to go to. Same with our cars. You see, you're just getting a service done, no problem, it's quite good for a service. But if you've got a major issue that you can't seem to resolve in the car and it's not coming right, you say, he's a specialist. He'll be able to find it in no time. So in the same way, in this field of the inner and spiritual self, there were certain people and certain mashayikh that Allah Ta'ala gave them a certain maqam and a certain speciality. And they were able to diagnose and they were able to look at the situation and the various factors, and Allah Ta'ala's special help came upon them. And they were able to guide people. Sometimes the person thinks he's a sheikh, and instead of guiding the people, he's misguiding them even further. The sheikh sometimes makes the murid make so much of zikrullah that eventually the murid doesn't even have time to talk to his wife any longer. And the person can't focus in work any longer. Sometimes the sheikh makes the murid make so much of muraqabah that the person can't focus any longer. So the person has to be a sheikh, a kamil, to understand different situations. One person came to Hazrat Tanvir Rahmatullah, he said, "Hazrat, alhamdulillah, with your barakat, mera maqam to ye hai, I have reached such a maqam now, that when I make the zikr of Allah, I see a light shining. I see a bright light shining." So if it was someone like ourselves, we would say, "Mashallah, mashallah, shabash, you have... you must have reached." So Hazrat told him that immediately stop all zikrullah. Bilkul ban kar de. Stop all zikrullah. What is your timetable? What is your schedule? As I said, looks like your brain is becoming dehydrated. You're starting to hallucinate. That's not the nur that you are seeing. That's hallucination. That you're not getting sufficient sleep. And you're making too much of zikrullah. And as a result, this is your outcome. There's an incident also written in the kitabs. Once, as a Tanvi rahmatullahi alayhi's khanqa, there was a certain person, it was a majzoom. And he wouldn't listen to Hazrat's advices. Hazrat told him, calm down with the zikr. One morning after, before Fajr, when they were waking up the murids and so on, they saw out of his room there was blood coming out. So immediately they went to alert Hazrat Tanvi rahmatullahi alayhi. Hazrat said, don't open the door, call the police. Hazrat was, mashallah, very usuli. They called the police, they realized this person had committed suicide. So Hazrat then afterwards remarked that, what can I do? I kept on telling this person, don't make too much of zikrullah. What happens is the brain dehydrates, and then the person, he starts seeing things, and the person starts doing things which doesn't make any sense any longer. They say an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Now if a person says, alright, if that's the case, I'll one time eat 1 kg apples. Or we hear the doctor says, listen, take this medication, this antibiotic, you need to take 1 tablet 3 times a day. And you take it over 5 days. So if this person says, look, I got no time to wait for 5 days, I'll take everything 1 time. All the tablets 1 time. So he'll end up in the Qabristan. Something will go wrong. The body can't handle so much. In the same way, when it comes to the dhikr of Allah, there has to be, you need a person to guide you. The person can't do, you know, just carry on his own. The person may go astray. So nevertheless, these Ahlullah, they were able to decipher, they were able to determine, and they would guide a person how to develop this quality of taqwa, how to work on the heart and make an effort on the heart. So we said that this quality of taqwa, kafun nafsi anil hawa, the ability to restrain one's evil desire. So the point I was making, alhamdulillah, we came back to the point, is that now some people, when they hear this year, now they deprive themselves from those things which are permissible. Those things which are permissible, they now start depriving themselves of that also. They say, you mustn't even do the nice things in this world. Just make ibadat and zikrullah. And it becomes so hard on the nerves, that eventually the person completely rebels. I am aware of so many cases where women folk, the girl was completely leading a life of sin, and then she changed her life. She started wearing niqab and hijab, and then unfortunately she took guidance from someone who was somewhat extreme, and then from there she went and became so hard, until eventually she couldn't manage any longer, she couldn't cope any longer, and now the condition of many of those girls is they're not even wearing scarf any longer. I can show you certain, they're not even wearing scarf any longer. So this is when extremism sets in. Deen is easy. So our mashayikh, how many times I heard Hazrat Wala Hazrat Shah Ki Maftar Sahib Rahmatullahi, he's just saying that in today's zamana, don't put too much of effort on all of those extra things. Bas ek kaam kar lo. Do one thing. Stay away from sins. Eat well. Eat good food. Enjoy the pleasures of this world in moderation. Have laughter. Have fun. Give your nafs halal. Then that nafs won't rebel against you. Now the person wants to deprive the nafs of halal also. Then what happens? The person rebels. Now we mustn't look at some of our mashayikh. Allah Ta'ala has given them such a maqam. Their level is different. Some of our mashayikh don't even keep cell phone also. So their level is completely different. We can't cope with that. MashaAllah, we are fortunate to have seen Hazrat Mu'inus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. What a balanced person. A person of such moderation. He made it very, very easy for people. Very easy for people. So this is what it is. Hazrat used to say that make things easy, make deen easy for people. Don't make it hard for people. So the nafs of taqwa doesn't mean that we have to deprive of ourselves of those things which are permissible. In fact, we will say that the person who is trying to change his life, he should actually compensate by giving his family and himself extra halal. That now let's go as a family together, let's go for a picnic, let's go for camping, let's do some activity together, let's have some fun. So that even the family and the children don't feel that, now you know, my father and mother changed their life, now it's become so boring, we can't even laugh anymore. We all have to just sit and just, you know, make dua and cry. Yes, when it's time to cry, we will cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then when it's moments of happiness, we will be happy. When there's a joyous, happy occasion in the family, we will be happy also. We will laugh, we will express our happiness. A believer is a balanced person. When he's with the children, he's playing with the children. This is what we learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be raising his hands before Allah ta'ala, he would be so serious. There would be such crying. There's one incident that is mentioned of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He performed his tahajjud salah. And after performing his tahajjud salah, he was in the room of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. And he just completed his salah. And his gaze fell on Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. And he said, "Who are you?" She said, "I'm Aisha." He said, "Which Aisha?" He said, "Aisha bint Abi Bakr." He said, "Which Abu Bakr?" "Ibn Quhafa." "Which Quhafa?" And then Nabi Kareem Sasim came back. Ulama Ikram explained that this shows what level of devotion and engrossment Nabi Kareem Sasim was when he was with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it was almost as if he had to come back down to earth. We say that the Shaykh reached such a high kayfiyat and a maqam. You know, when he's making dua, he's in another world. Like one buzruk, he said that, he claimed to be a great wali of Allah. So he used to tell his murids that, you know, I have reached such a maqam that I read my Fajr Salah in Haram Sharif and I read my Dhuhr Salah in Masjid al-Nabawi. I don't read Salah with you all. I have reached such a level that Allah makes it such that I traverse the earth." So one person decided to teach the Shaykh a lesson. So he took a big loan from the Shaykh. He took the loan in front of everyone. He said, "Hazrat, you know, you are, the Mashaykh are very generous people. So I need, for example, a 20,000 riyal loan." So now the Shaykh couldn't say no because everybody was looking at him. So he gave. Now he's not paying. Time is going, he's not paying. So finally the Shaykh said, "Buy my money, when are you going to bring it?" So he said, "Hazrat, I'm actually leaving for Umrah in few days time. I will meet you in Masjid al-Nabawi and I will give you the money at that time. Because you say you read Salah in Masjid al-Nabawi, so I will give you the money there." So the reality is that our condition is that we are on the earth. We are on the earth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached such a high maqam, but yet Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was at Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, under normal circumstances, he would even take the opportunity of competing in running races with Aisha radiallahu anha. We sit for a few days in the company of our Shaykh, or sit in i'tikaf. After that, we can't even laugh anymore with our wives. Now we have now on another level. But yet, my Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was the atqan nas, who had the highest degree of taqwa, who had the greatest piety, who had the greatest connection with Allah, yet he is humbling himself and lowering himself so that he can run races with his beloved wife. What a lesson for us. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would enter the home with a cheerful countenance. That is why Aisha radiallahu anha said, "Lana shamsun walil afaqi shamsun." That we have got a sun and the horizon also has a sun. The sun of the horizon rises after Fajr. And our sun rises when my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters the home. In other words, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the home, the entire home brightened up, lightened up. There was happiness, there was cheer, there was laughter. Today when we entered the homes, the person in the masjid, he will be like Bayezid Bustami or Junaid Baghdadi. But when he enters the home, then there's fighting, there's quarrel and arguments. Just today I dealt with the case where the husband and wife got in the month of Ramadan got into such a fight where they basically both are assaulting each other. The husband is assaulting the wife is assaulting the husband. As Mu'inis Patel Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that sometimes I feel like telling the husband and wife that why don't you just wear boxing gloves and we'll set up one ring for you all and we'll just box each other out, finish. So this is the condition in the month of Ramadan. But look at the condition of Rasulullah SAW. That is why Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "The best amongst you is the one who is the best to his wife." I didn't have intention to speak about this, but Allah Ta'ala put certain things in the mind. The akhlaq is such an important thing. If you want to gauge a person's character, then you should ask his wife. Hazrat Shaqi Makhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when he started giving khilafat to all our mashayikh, including Hazrat Muinis Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. I was a young boy who used to, alhamdulillah, had the good fortune of sitting in those majalis. I remember clearly Hazrat mentioning to them that I want a letter from all your wives. I want a letter from all your wives, and they must, you know, confirm your akhlaq in the home. And I need that, and they must sign it without any coercion. So you want to measure a person's character, go and ask the wife. If the wife says that, mashallah, this man is a wonderful person in the home, he's kind, he's loving, he's considerate, now we can say, mashallah, this person really. And that is why Rasulullah said, the best amongst you is the best to his wife, and I am the best from all of you to my wife, to my wives. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam led by example. So nevertheless, coming back to our topic of taqwa, this important quality of taqwa, such a important quality to develop in this month of Ramadan, the conscious awareness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us, Allah is with us, Allah is seeing us. Today we heard in the opening verses of the Quran Sharif is a hidayat for the muttaqeen. U'iddat lil muttaqeen, Jannat has been prepared for the muttaqeen. So the very fact that Allah Ta'ala has given us the month of Ramadan, and Allah Ta'ala has made it easy for us to develop taqwa, is a sign that Allah wants us to go into Jannah. Allah is a loving Allah. Allah wants us to enter Jannah. Allah is looking for the opportunity to enter us into Jannah. That see, you can also, taqwa is for you as well. There is a beautiful incident I wanted to mention, which we hear many, many promises on taqwa. Many, many promises. The promise of Jannah. The promise of getting the ma'iyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allaha ma'al ladheena taqaw wal ladheena hum muhsinoon. The person will get the ma'iyat of Allah ta'ala. That means Allah will be with him. We say, Ya Allah, make me yours and become mine. If Allah is with you, you have everything. Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi alayhi, again, he gives the example. He says that the lion cub was roaming around in the jungle, and the hyenas confronted this cub. So now this cub was confronted, was now in a very difficult situation. But then the cub looked behind and he saw his father was standing there in the back. So now that cub, as soon as he indicated to the hyenas that you see that one there with the Mubarak beard, that he's sitting there, that's my father. So now instead of attacking that cub, the hyenas showed some love to the cub. So he says in the same way, that person who has got Allah Ta'ala as his support, Allah is with him. Allah Ta'ala blesses him with a kind of a himmat and a kind of a courage. And in life becomes very easy for this person. Even when he's going through some challenges and some difficulties, he says, no, my Allah will never let me down. My Allah will help me through this difficulty. My Allah will be there to support me. An example flashes through the mind of Muinus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. He says, the person, that student, went into the exam room and the exam paper came in front of him. Extremely challenging paper. He wasn't prepared for it. Now he looked at that paper, his heart collapsed. I'm not gonna, that's it, I finished. I failed. There's no hope for me now. So now if the examiner comes to him and the examiner says, no, don't worry. You put your hand into my hand and we'll write the paper together. Now that person's heart, his entire mood and feeling and it changes completely. From a feeling of helplessness, there's a feeling to relaxation and ease. Yet he's writing that paper, but he's got the support of the examiner helping him through the paper. As it says, in the same way, that person who has got a ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala, when that challenge and the difficulty comes to him, then that difficulty too, Allah Ta'ala says, don't worry my beloved, I will help you through this problem. We heard tonight, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. That with every difficulty there is double ease. Allah Ta'ala creates double ease. So Allah Ta'ala, you will get the ma'iyyat of Allah Ta'ala if you develop taqwa. And then the famous verses of the Quran Sharif, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. This one we like a lot. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. The person who adopts taqwa, Allah Ta'ala will create a way out from every difficulty. And Allah will provide for him. Allah will grant him rizq from sources he would have never imagined. He would never have thought the rizq would have come from here. But Allah will send it. Allah will provide for him. This today after Asr, one person came to do a delivery at home, Muslim person, so I gave him some dates, just by giving example. So he says, Maulana, you won't believe it, I just heard that I was going to go and get some dates for the family. So Allah Ta'ala put it in our heart, but this is a sign of him, that Allah Ta'ala provided for him. Allah Ta'ala put it in our heart to give it to this person. So Allah will provide for the person. There is an incident, a very inspiring incident which I heard from Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Maulana mentioned which kitab he had found it in, but unfortunately I didn't recall the kitab. But on many occasions Hazrat repeated the story that a certain person went for Hajj. And he was a young person, he went for Hajj. He had some little money that was on him and he went for this journey of Hajj. And as he continued in those days when they would go for Hajj, it would be a lengthy period of time. Eventually all his money got finished. He didn't have any money left now. So now things became very, very challenging for him. He was hungry, whatever here and there people gave, he took. And his condition was very, very pitiable. One day when he was coming out of the Haram Sharif in Makkatul Mukarramah, he saw a necklace lying on the floor. It looked like a very expensive necklace. So he thought to himself that surely the person who lost this necklace will be in need of this necklace. It must be very expensive. So he started announcing, we know the masra that if a person loses something, then you have to announce continuously, etc., until the person comes, the arm aside. So he kept on announcing every day, announcing, anybody lost the necklace, come to me, give me the description and I will give it to you. First day, after every salah, he announced, carried on announcing, announcing, announcing. Few days passed until eventually he thought to himself that it looks like it could be Allah Ta'ala's way of providing for me, and I am starving, I hardly have any food. Perhaps this is Allah Ta'ala's risk to me, and therefore, you know, maybe I should sell it, and the money that I get from there, you know, I will then be able to survive. So he was about to do this when suddenly the owner of the necklace kept on, he was searching on the one side of the haram until he was directed here. We heard someone calling, and then finally they directed him to this person's dwelling where he was residing. And he came and he said that, look, I believe you've been making an announcement for a necklace. And he said, the thought crossed my mind to say that no, the owner has already been, you know, found. But then he said, no, Allah is watching me. So he said, give me a description. And he said, the person gave a description exactly. He said, I handed the necklace over to him. The person was very, very happy. He took out some money. He says, look, I want to give you this as a payment. You know, that this necklace is so valuable to me, I want to pay you. He said, I thought to myself that, Ya Allah, I did this action for your pleasure. I don't want any reward from anyone besides you. And he didn't accept anything. He went, he gave the necklace to the person and he didn't take any payment in return. Anyway, somehow or the other, he completed his Hajj. On the return journey, he was on the ship and it so happened, Allah Shan, that the ship went through major storms and eventually the ship was damaged and it started to sink and all the passengers tried to hold on whatever they could and most of them perished. And he somehow or the other, Allah made it such that he landed up on an island. The people that were passing by, they saw this person, they took him to the masjid, the doctors that were there, they attended to him, and they gave him a place to stay that was adjacent to the masjid. He regained his strength, and then he realized that the people didn't have anyone to perform their salah for them, people were just coming and performing. So he said, look, Allah has blessed me with Quran, I know Quran, I will lead the salah on your behalf as long as I am here. And then he said, you have been so kind to me, you are giving me food to eat and so on, I will teach your children Quran and I will teach them deen. And in this way he started to teach them. Weeks went by, months went by, etc. Until eventually the people of the town said, you know, this person is such a wonderful person, he's got such good qualities, we would like him to stay here. But in order for him to stay here, we need to make him settle down, we need to make him, you know, find a partner for him. So they said, you know what, we've got a girl who we feel will be very suitable for you, we would like you to go and see her. So he went, he saw the girl, he was very happy. He said, you know, this girl is the daughter of our former imam who had passed away. He was a very pious person. He had passed away. She is the daughter. So anyway, everything was confirmed. The nikah was set, nikah was performed. After the nikah was performed, he now walks into the room now to go and meet his wife officially. As he walks into the room, he's mesmerized. He's dazzled. And what is he mesmerized by? By the necklace that is hanging around her neck. He can't believe. He's looking at that necklace. He said, can it be true? And she realizes that he's looking at this necklace. And then he asked her, well, where did you get this necklace from? So she says, well, this necklace belonged to my father. And my father gave it to me as a gift. But she says, this necklace has a very special story. She says that my father lost this necklace when he went for Hajj. And my father said that for days and days he searched for this necklace. And he couldn't find the necklace and he became helpless and felt absolutely hopeless. How was he going to survive? Or how was he going to continue? And then somehow or the other, he was directed to the place where this necklace was. And he says a very pious youngster gave the necklace to him and refused to accept any payment for finding the necklace. And this necklace became very sentimental, therefore he didn't even sell the necklace and he just kept it. And he passed it to his daughter. And she says, my father used to make this dua often, that Ya Allah, make it such that my daughter gets married to a youngster with that level of taqwa like that youngster I had met during Hajj. He began tearing. He says, do you know, I am that very youngster who had found the necklace. So Hazrat Mu'ayyan Sahib Rahmatullah used to tell us a story and says, look at this. And there are many incidents of this nature. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. The person who fears Allah Ta'ala, Allah creates a way out for him. That ship was sinking. Allah made it such that he survived. And then Allah made it such that he was picked up by someone. Allah made it such that, you know, people were there to serve him. Allah made it such that he was given the post of imamat. Allah Ta'ala continued opening up the door for him until eventually, وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And Allah continuously provided for him until eventually Allah Ta'ala gave him the daughter of that very person who was the owner of that necklace. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can provide if we adopt this quality of taqwa. So this morning after Fajr Salah, we discussed that quality, or we discussed that beautiful hadith narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. And again it ties up back to what I was saying. اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, just stay away from that which is haram, you will become the greatest abid. You will become the greatest worshipper. Because the person who is making tilawat of Quran Sharif the whole day, he can't do it the whole day. There is some time or the other he will have to stop. His ibadat will have to stop. The person who is ibadat is confined to salah, he will have to stop at certain times. But that person who makes his ibadat abstaining from the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala, he can be all the time in ibadat. Now we'll say, but Maulana, you know, sometimes a person will commit a sin. We are human beings. We must make mistakes. We do make mistakes. So then, subhanallah, our ulama gave such a beautiful example. They say that we say a person is ba wuzu. A person is all the time in the state of wuzu. So what does it mean? Does it mean he never breaks his wudu? No, it doesn't mean that. It means that he has to, his wudu will break. But as soon as his wudu breaks, he immediately goes and he renews his wudu. In the same way, accidentally a person will falter, a person will make a sin, a person will, you know, lose control over the tongue momentarily. But then he'll realize his mistake, and Allah speaks about that in that verses. وَعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظُ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And then Allah Ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهُ. The qualities of the muttaqeen is this, that when they commit a sin, then, or they make zulm upon themselves. A person who commits sin is actually making zulm on himself. So if they make zulm upon themselves, they immediately remember Allah Ta'ala. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. They seek forgiveness. Ya Allah, forgive me. So now the person has taqwa, has been reinstated again. MashaAllah, the taqwa has come back again. So in this way, a person can always be in the state of taqwa. This quality of taqwa is for everyone. It is not only for the pious. It's for any individual. There are many, many incidents. We don't have time to go into that. But the famous incident of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was, his habit was, he used to roam the streets at night when he was Amirul Mu'mineen. On one occasion, he heard There was a family who used to provide milk for the people. So it so happened milk was short on one particular day. So the mother said to the daughter that, you know what, we are short with milk. Customers are going to come tomorrow. We won't have enough milk. So why don't we mix the milk with a little bit of water? So the daughter said, but mom, we're not allowed to do such a thing. He said, no one will know. The daughter replied, but Allah will know. Allah will know. Subhanallah, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was so pleased that eventually when he returned, he told his son that I found a suitable match for you. If you're looking for a girl with taqwa, I found a girl who has got taqwa. So this is the thing, that the person who develops the quality of taqwa, subhanallah. You know, Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi used to say that today the condition, and now it's even gone worse, that you have to have a, in order to look after and to control the society, you need a police force. And then to control the police force, you need another agency to check over the police. And now you need another agency to check over that agency who's checking over the police, they're checking over the citizens. And it'll just go on and on. But the simple solution would have been that every single person had the conscious awareness that Allah was watching them. That I cannot get away with this. That if I steal the trust, if I steal public money, then I will never prosper in life. Allah is watching me. So that person doesn't need any police officer to oversee him. And this example of this girl, that fear of Allah Ta'ala prevented her from mixing the water in the milk, because she felt that, look, no one else will know. Amirul Mu'mineen won't be watching, but Allah can see. And there will never be any blessings in this milk if we have to sell it in this manner. And this is what Allah Ta'ala wants us to develop, to sharpen our taqwa in this month of Ramadan. This is a quality of the heart. And never claim that you have taqwa. But the effort continues, that I have to make an effort to develop the taqwa. Allah bless me with this quality of taqwa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this quality of taqwa. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Recite Durud Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina. La ilaha illallah, 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 la ilaha illallah. لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الله جل جلاله وتعالى شأنه الله 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 Allah 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 La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah
اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله هو كريم رحيم الله Ya Allah, these brothers, Ya Allah, and many of our sisters who are listening over the streaming, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, despite the lengthy program and the lengthy dua, Ya Allah, they are still sitting here, Ya Allah. Their legs are paining, Ya Allah, but yet they are sitting, Ya Allah. This is a sign, Ya Allah, that they want something from you, Ya Allah. They want to become close to you, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, this is a sign that they love you, Ya Allah. O Allah, fill their hearts with your muhabbat and their love, in your love, Ya Allah. O Allah, with your power of jazz, pull us towards you, Ya Allah. O Allah, make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah. O Allah, if a person wants to see the king, Ya Allah, he has to go through so many different departments, Ya Allah. But if the king summons someone, Ya Allah, he cuts through all the red tape and goes directly to the king's palace, Ya Allah. O Allah, we are asking you, Ya Allah, we know we are unworthy, Ya Allah. O Allah, we know that we are totally unworthy, Ya Allah. But we are raising these begging bowls that you have granted us, Ya Allah. O Allah, make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah. O Allah, fill our hearts with your muhabbat, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your love, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with the nur of taqwa, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with sincerity, Ya Allah. With love, Ya Allah. With all the sifat-i hamida, Ya Allah. O Allah, remove the sifat-i radila from our lives, Ya Allah. O Allah, purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah. O Allah, we become tired, Ya Allah. We become tired of asking, Ya Allah. O Allah, you know better what we require, Ya Allah. O Allah, grant us all that which is good for us, Ya Allah. Protect us from all that which is harmful for us, Ya Allah. O Allah, you are well aware all the good desires and aspirations of each and every individual who has raised his hand before you, Ya Allah. Fulfill all the good desires and aspirations. Whatever difficulty, challenge they are going through, alleviate it, Ya Allah. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifoon. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.